for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Sunday afternoon, 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 27th, 2007. Shirley Smith is the speaker of this service, teaching on Changing History, Changing Nations.
Yes. So, well, they were asking me to speak, and, we've talked about deliverance for years, and I've done that for years, and, you know, for those of you who would go way back, you know, for 10 years, I did the occult and the media. I did an exposure. I did a lot of international travel, I think 11 nations with that, and because it's all over the world, and the problem is, and then, you know, I did several world conventions over this, and so I was really, really busy for 10 years, but my foundation for all of that came right here in this place, because I was here for many years learning about deliverance and about my authority as a believer. Actually, I guess I really knew my authority as a believer through Kenneth Hagin back in the 70s when the charismatic move came in. We didn't have teachers in those days. We just had tapes, those cassette tapes. And so that's really where I got a lot of my foundation. But as far as deliverance goes and dealing with demonic spirits, I learned here. So I thank God for this place because of that. So, Father, we just thank you today, and we give you praise, my God, where you have brought us from, and even where you are taking us to. We give you praise, Lord, and we ask today, God, that everything that is shared here today, Lord, will be received and understood in the hearts of the people. And we just bind the prince of the power of the air right now that he will not misconstrue one word that is spoken, that it will be heard exactly like it was intended to be said, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I just learned we deal a lot with the principalities of the air, and I came into this ministry, I say quite innocently, I guess you could say. you know, it wasn't like anything I learned about and went and did. I guess that's the way I like to say it. But my husband and I have done missions for many, many years until he's been with me all these years in ministry. But last six or 7 years, he had a really bad accident. He fell off of a roof. And while he was working, and had a lot of body injury, and so knees, he had two knee surgeries, one knee replacement. He had open heart surgery 2 years ago. So physically, you know, he can't travel like he used to. So God raised up these teenagers. In fact, when God raised me off my deathbed 12 years ago, 2 years later, he said to me, I want you to take the youth, I want you to release your platform, release your microphone, I want you to take the youth to the nations and teach them and let them learn how to minister, to lay hands on the sick, and to cast out spirits, and to teach and preach and do spiritual warfare, praise and worship. Those were my mandates from God. And so I've been doing that ever since. And so it's been just phenomenal what God has taught me through the youth and taught us together, because, you know, it's a new day.
Amen.
And God's doing things in a new way. The old order is passing off, and there's a new order coming in. And you're like, oh, God, you're learning all over again.
Uh-huh.
And what worked then is not working now, because that day's, it's like falling the cloud.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the cloud moved. You had to move when the cloud moved. And so when the cloud moved this time, I really was surprised. <That's>, wow, a big surprise. I'm going, God. Because I've always worked with youth, but I never worked that way. And so doors began to immediately open for us, and God raised up a team. I had a lady call me, and she said, she said, I hear you have a lot of contacts in Mexico, a lot of doors. I said, yes. And she said, I have a youth team I want to take down there, and I would like you to open these doors for me. And I said, well, sure. In fact, I had planned to go to Mexico, but just go for a rest and visit friends. And so my interpreter was going with me, and so she said, I said, I'll just meet you there. And then someone called me, and they said, well, I want you to come speak for me at this particular date when I was be gone. I said, no, I won't be here. I'll be in Mexico. Well, she said, so what are you doing? I said, I'm meeting this lady who's bringing a youth team down. I'm just opening doors for her. And she said, are you taking teams? I said, oh, no, I'm not taking. I'm going to rest and visit. And they said, she said, oh, well, I've got five. My nieces and nephews, they love to go. I said, maybe next year, but not this year. I'm not taking anybody. And so then about 2 days later, someone called me from the States in here, and they said, so where are you going next? And I thought, well, dear Lord, who cares? I mean, you know, please give me a break. Let me rest. And I said, well, I'm going to make, you know, same story I tell the others. And they said, well, are you taking anybody? I said, no, I'm not. I'm really not. Maybe another time. Oh, but she said, oh, my daughter would love to travel with you. I said, maybe next year. And so then that week, you know, somebody else called whose son wanted to go. And so I finally just give up. And I said, okay, what are you doing, God? So I ended up with 12 kids, which is more than the other lady had going from Indiana. So we went down and met this. And because I had been there and ministered in this church many times, it's, you know, God gives you a vineyard. This is one of your vineyards here. God will give you a vineyard to work in, you know. And so that was one of my vineyards there. And I love those people. The Latins have always been my heart. And so there was a young man God raised up, fasted 40 days. He was 18 years old. God raised him up as a powerful warrior. So we went there to, quote, American train their kids. You know, ended up, they trained ours. And they just said, can we put you in a boot camp training? I've always been kind of militant anyway, and, you know, I'm always up and at 'em. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good to me. And so they said, he said, this is what you have to do, blah, 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 blah. And he's real military-like. So I said, we'll just take a vote, and we did, and kids voted to do it. And so they trained my kids. And this young boy, his name was Miguel Enriquez, and he taught, some of y'all hold on to your seat and tell you it's a new day, but he taught the dance to my kids. He taught the Jewish dances. He taught warfare dances. We even did bridal dances and taught on the Bride of Christ. We taught on, even with that dance, you can teach on dating and what you look for in a mate, the characteristics you would look for, that type of thing. You can introduce a lot of things with a bridal dance. And so dance is really in the nations very strong. It's not so much here in the States. You don't see this much here, but it's very strong in other nations. And so he taught us that, and then we began to teach on spiritual warfare. I had been learning. Sister Gwen Shaw is my spiritual mom of End Time Handmaidens and Servants. My husband and I both are members of that organization, and I've walked alongside Sister Gwen for about 25 or so years now. And she had come out with the message of, you know, walking, doing prayer walking and redeeming the land. And so James and I had been doing that, like I say, you know, off and on as the Lord led us to, not as a ministry, but just as the need arose. And there was a situation, and we would have just anoint the whole perimeter of the village or whatever that was needed to be done. But back, it was in the 80s, I'm trying to think now, because the first time I really went to war with this was in Cuba, I think. But it was the late 80s, early 90s, and I had had a vision, identical vision, 2 years straight in a row. And that second vision is what I'm still walking in today. It was, I saw the Gulf of, I had an aerial view, and I saw the Gulf of Mexico, and I saw America and Mexico, you know, lined up like this, and I saw dozens of teams, small teams, doing short-term mission trips, and they were all lined up, and Jesus was standing in the middle of the ocean with a time clock in his hand, and everybody is ready to go. Everybody's just so, you know, excited and anxious to go, and they were standing on the sidelines, and he'd hold his clock up, and at different times he sent different teams out, and he would go, you come, you bring your team, and you go here. You bring yours, and you go here. And you go here. At that time, I was all over Central and South America, so I'm thinking, oh, it's confirmation of what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I didn't think anything about the vision. Then 1 year later, I had the identical same vision. I was speaking up at a children's conference in Illinois, and I was down, I was just down in a travail, and God brought me right back into that vision again. But this time he said something different. the scenario was the same. He was on the Gulf, and he was all these places. And he said, bring your singers, musicians, and praisers, and stand in the islands and praise me. Didn't say preach, teach, nothing. He just said, stand in the islands and praise me. And I went, well, that's different than what you said before. In those scenarios, same. And so several months after that, I was reading over in Isaiah 42. I started shouting all over the back of the house. My husband said, what is going on? I said, my vision's in the Bible. I tell you, it's in the Bible. I didn't know it. It's here. Exact words that God spoke in that vision. And he says, in Isaiah 42, verse 12, says, well, even back up at verse 9, because this is where I was. Behold, the former things, the old order, the old things, he said, are come to pass. New things do I declare before they spring forth, I'll tell you of them. So there's a new day that God's telling me is coming in. He's doing things a new way. But it goes on down and it says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth, and you that go down into the sea or the islands and all that's therein. Verse 9, 10 through 16 actually. But verse 12 says, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Exactly what I had heard in the vision. I'm going, oh my God, it's here. I mean, oh. But you know, I was so excited. And of course, James rejoiced with me. But the next verse, there's a key right there. The next verse says something happens when you do that. Look what it says. And the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal or jealousy like a man of war. He will cry, he will roar, and he will prevail against his enemies.
Ooh.
Wow. So we set the host of heaven in motion with our praises, standing in the island just in obedience to praise God. I'm going, wow, how simple, how easy.
Yes.
And so I was just so confirmed in my spirit, you know, that this I'm walking the right thing. Then he says, I have held my peace. I have been still. I refrained myself. And now I'm going to cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Then he said, I'll make the mountains waste, the hills dry. And then he goes on, he said, I'll make the rivers and the islands, and I will dry up the pools. And listen, I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known, and I'll make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Oh my goodness. When I read that, I thought, oh, what a commission. What a mandate. How easy. How fun. Really, how fun. I enjoy those kids to the nth degree, I'm telling you. It keeps you young, for one thing, working with young people. You know, and they just jerk you up, and they're gone. And you just have to move. You get to flow with them. And so, are you just... oh, I'm trying to say, come on, Sister Shirley, come on. I'm going, I'm coming. And then when it gets really... Because I was really into nutrition, you know, at those days. And I was eating junk food like kids eat today. And, of course, everybody fasts. Every kid, I don't care if you are 12 years old. And I've taken 12 years old before. Everybody fasts 7 days before we go. I had a 13-year-old on this last trip. Almost 13. He was right at his birthday. Everybody fasts 7 days. So, and everybody has, you know, things that we pray about, things that we do. Everybody's checked real close, real, real close. And the main thing, I'm telling you, it's a key in any situation, in any ministry, any team that you ever involve with. If you don't have unity, you might as well stay home.
Amen.
Because the devil's going to eat your lunch. He's going to divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. I love working with youth. I do not like working with women. I flat don't. Let me tell you what. Because they know everything. They have done everything. They have seen it. And by my age, you know, you've seen it, done it all. Because your grandmothers and your mothers, and you're used to giving orders. You know? And so you work with women. Oh, let me tell you what we need to do. I said, no, this is what God said. Oh, but look, we can do it through this. I said, that is not what God said, sister. So until you get it in unity, you stay right here. Our team's going out, but you're not. You're going to stay right here today until we can come into agreement. Because you have to have agreement. You've got to have unity.
Amen.
And so, thank God I haven't had a lot of experiences with them lately. But I think I got hooked into that about 2 years ago, and I went to Japan, and I just kind of suffered through it. You know,
aww.
It was hard, but, you know, it's just more really dying to flesh is part of that. It really is. And so when I get there, and instead of having to deal with these women and all these menopause and all these emotions and all this stuff, God, you know, I'm just, it's just a part of life. I know it is. You know, I've not come past all that. And I didn't really have a lot of problems in that, thank God. God just blessed me in that. But anyway, I always come under the missionary. So I just say, this missionary is in charge, and wherever she says, you do it. I would have set you right back here at this place, and you'll stay here until the team goes out and comes back, until you can get your heart right, and you get in unity with the team. So I put most of the work over on the missionary now, whenever the lady, or the man that we're under, and when I'm dealing with women. If I got the kids, I just jerk them up, and, you know, they're scared to death. I put the fear of God in them before we ever start. And I said, let me tell you something, kids, everybody's got a round-trip ticket. Everybody does. I can send you as fast as I can bring you. And I'll talk to your mama when we get home. So whatever we tell you, and you keep your heart right, because we take communion every day, daily we take communion. So if there's anything between anybody, or if I've done anything to upset the kids, or they've upset me, we get it right. Because I've seen what, we go in the devil's territory, because we're going to walk the land today. We're going to walk right among the devil himself. And I said, if you've got anything in your heart, you're an open target.
Right.
You know, it's an open door. And so, I'm telling you, these kids line up. And God has just used them in such powerful ways. You know, I've been in the islands the last 12 years. That's mostly where, you know, even Japan is an island, even though it's a big nation. And I could talk for 2 days on all of these mission trips I've done, even the last 10 or 12 years with these kids. And, When we got into, let me tell you quickly about Fiji, because this is our first island we went to after I got that word. And when we got into Fiji, we went through tremendous warfare before we ever went. And we were battling with the spirit of Leviathan, or Leviathan, whatever how you want to say that. And we realized that before we left, and we knew it was a strong spirit there. And so sure enough, we got there, they worship him under the name of Degi, Degi. And it's the serpent of the deep. And so I was in a car wreck 10 days before I left. My hips was rearranged when my knee went into the dash, you know, tore a chest muscle. And some of the others on my team was in a wreck. And we said, boy, we need to get some intercessors behind us before we go out on this, because we're going into some territory we didn't know we were going into a lot of places. We went to some real remote villages where they're really high in witchcraft there. And so, and idol worship, they do... they had the whipping post, and they clubbed the people to death. I mean, it was a really pagan area. But, you know, these kids have clean hearts and clean lives and clean hands. And so I never fear to put them in these places, because we just go wherever God, you know, directs and confirms. Mm-hmm. And so when we got there, a very strange thing happened. It was only, I guess, on that one trip that we ever had this experience. But we went in, I told the kids, I said, okay, everybody, you know, get your clothes organized, get your bedrooms fixed, and everybody come back in here in the living room. And so everybody got ready, and I said, okay, take your Bible, get out there. We was in a bungalow on the beach. I said, get out there on the beach, don't you talk to nobody but God. Get your Bible, you only talk to God, and come back and tell me what he said. I'm going to give you 1 hour. When they came back, oh my Lord, we spent 4 hours going over what God spoke to those 12 kids. It was amazing. And it was all what God has showed me here in Isaiah 49, Isaiah 42. And so I was so excited over what God was showing the kids that, see, I had torn this chest muscle. In fact, James' elbow came right into my chest and tore that pectoral muscle. And I went there kind of like, holding like this, you know, and I went in a hip brace, and so, you know, it don't matter what the devil does, you just go on.
That's right.
I'm telling you, patched up, whatever, you just go in obedience, and God takes care of it. And so I couldn't clap, because you have to use this muscle. But when the kids begin to share all the things God had shown them, I began to clap, and I clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped. And I was just going like this for about 30 minutes, nonstop, which would be hard to do now. And, you know, and the kids started clapping, 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 clapping at the same time. And then in unison, nobody said one word because we're all on this anointing of clapping, which is a warfare also, in case y'all don't know what clapping is, warfare. And the kids suddenly just unanimously rose up, and our bungalow was probably about the length of this whole thing through here, and we had a bar in the middle with, I guess, the post that held it up. And they started running. And they ran down and come back, and it was running like this, and they were leaping and shouting scriptures and speaking in tongues, and they were so loud. It was kind of late in the afternoon, like dusk, and this building had a lot of windows in it, and you could see in, but we couldn't see out, but I could just imagine what was out there. You know, because those people had a store nearby, and there was others who lived around there. I could just, oh, God. I didn't know what to do with it. I'd never seen it before, and I didn't know how to explain it. And I said, if somebody comes to this door, what am I going to say? We're practicing a drama. What am I going to tell them? I kept telling God, what am I going to tell them when that man comes to this door that renders this building and tells us to get out of here, that we're making too much noise? And the Lord didn't say nothing. And so the kids kept running and running and running. And finally they hit the drums, they hit the guitars, they hit the keyboard. And I'm telling you, it was all out war. And they were running with swords and with tambourines and with shofars. And it was just wild in there for about 40 minutes. And they were just running, 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 and just speaking and declaring and making declarations and just warring on their instruments and warring with their hands and warring with the musical instrument. Everything was just all out war. And I just got in the middle of them, and I was just going with them. And so all of a sudden, just as fast as it started, it stopped. But, oh, I missed the part that's really the key part, because I kept saying to the Lord, I hear horses. I hear horses' hoofs when we're doing this. And the Lord said, yes, you do. And I said, well, what is it? He said, it's the kids. And that's Isaiah 5, for those who don't know about how the Lord uses us like horses. Isaiah 5, verses 26 through 29. And there's many other scriptures that refer to that. But anyway, so I'm listening to all of this, and the Lord said, but they're too loud. I've got to calm them down, quiet them down. And the Lord said, don't bridle the horse. Ooh. Let them run free.
Oh.
And I won't touch it.
Thank you.
I just won't touch it. So I let them go until they went about 40, 45 minutes, and suddenly they stopped and just hit the floor and began to weep. And weep and worship and worship. And one of the girls on my team was really good in ballet, and she's very limber. And she was doing this strange, I'm going, God, look at her. I mean, she was all twisted around, and she was just twisting, and she was going back down. You know, it's hard to breathe when you've been over it. She was rolling in tongues, rolling in tongues, rolling in tongues. And I said, God, look at her. She looks perverted. I mean, she's so twisted up. And the Lord said, she's dealing with a spirit of perversion. It's the ruling spirit on this island. And that was confirmed to us the next day by one of the, we were with Women's Aglow on this particular trip, and I was sharing that. She said, that is the ruling spirit on these islands. So anyway, they stopped, and they just began to worship for about another 40, 45 minutes. And when it was finished, I couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain it. We didn't even discuss it. We just went to bed. I mean, I thought, what could you say at a time like that? It was just a holy moment in God, and a holy thing, and a phenomenal thing that God did. And it was a new day and a new thing. So I couldn't explain it. And so we just went to bed. And the next morning we got up, and a lady came to me, and her name was Sandra. And she said, there is a village, a real remote village here, that my brother was almost clubbed to death in about 3 months ago. And she said, the chief's sister is the only Christian in the village. And she said, would you come with me out there to pray for her brother, who is the chief, because he is paralyzed from the waist down? I said, sure, we'll be glad to. And so she said, well, they had clubbed her brother, and her brother was going to retaliate and come back to kill the chief. And so she said, I beg my brother, don't do anything. Let me fast and pray for this man's salvation. And his village was here, and there's a river that runs through here, and this lady's village and her brother's village was over here, and the brother was over here. I guess maybe it was someone of the ladies, or I don't know what his reason was for being there. Anyway, got in trouble, broke there. They are a law unto their own selves,
mm-hmm.
and they're not controlled by any law in the land, because they're pagan. And, you know, if you know the Fiji people, they were cannibals for many, many years. And these people are like 7 feet tall. These are giants. Even the women are tall like this. Yeah. And so, anyway, so I said, yes, we'll go. We'll pray for the man. And she said, the man's council house has so many demons in it that he can't stand to go in there anymore. We want to know if you go pray in the council house. Well, I said, sure, we'll go. So, when we arrived, we was on a bus going over, and we was on near the railroad track. They have sugarcane is a big thing there. That's their capital produce there, is sugarcane. And so they had all these canes stacked on this box cars going, open box cars. And our bus was going along through here, and a van began. And I told the kids, I said, if there's anything between anybody, I'm telling you, we're on the devil's territory today. We're going to a pagan village. You better get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we're fine. I said, okay, I'm just giving you a warning. So when we're driving along there, and this van runs us off the road, we went up against this train with all this sugarcane, and the sugarcane was scraping against the bus, and it was shaking everything like this, and everybody said, I'm so sorry I stepped in front of you yesterday. Oh my God, I'm so sorry I didn't pick your suitcase up. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was sure. Oh, you never heard such repenting all your life. It was something. So I said, so is everybody heart clear? They're going, yes, and we're okay. I said, I told y'all, we're going on the devil's turn. You better get it right. So God's always just give you a little example right here of the destruction we could come into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we got there, I've got it all planned out. Don't ever plan stuff. Yeah. I had all planned out. I chose the ones that I knew were strong warriors I was going to take, you know, out to pray in the village. And I was going to leave the intercessors here on the bus to pray while we're out. Well, when we got there, there was a big, long drum, like a canoe, I guess, that they summoned demons with. You know, they drum up the demons there. And then we came into, I didn't know any of this until after the fact, until after it's all over the next day. And so we came into their land, they call it the Ra-Ra area, which is where the judgment seat is, and it's where they hold their court. It's where the chiefs and the elders come, and women can't go there at all in this area, you know. And their huts are built all along the outside of this runway here. Runway. It's just a long mowed area, you know, kind of like here on the grounds. And so the chief's council is at the very end, and so that's where they told us to go pray. So, but I didn't know you couldn't have an umbrella. No women, because Dagi can't have anything over his head because he's controlled everything. So that's just one of their superstitions. And women couldn't wear pants, and we all had on like military T-shirts. You know, we were soldiers, and we had on decent pants, and you know, we were very modest in the way we were dressed. But here we all are, and here we're females, and females are not allowed to walk in this area, but nobody told us that. And so when we came off the bus, they did the same thing they had done the night before. God, I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do the night before either, you know. So I just joined them. What else can you do? You know, so we're just ripping up and down. And the kids were over there and begin to anoint these drums and curse everything on those drums. And everybody has oil when we go out, you know. And so, and we have communion elements. We always take communion while we're there. And so we went ripping up and romping up and down here. And these big old 7 feet men ran out of the village. We scared them to death. We came in like a storm, you know, suddenly. And they ran behind their huts, and they was peeping at, and these are huge people. And they were peeping out at us. What in the world? And here's this woman, American woman with all these kids. And so we went up and down this rah-rah with tambourines just a-clanging in the storm. You know, we had some really powerful warriors with tambourines there. We had a lady from Mexico City. It's just the devil's tremble when she comes that tambourine. She is so anointed with it. And so we were ripping up and down here, and then we went down to the council house and began to pray. We deal with where the five things that defile the land is the shedding of innocent blood, idolatry, the occult, immorality, and broken covenants. Even divorce will bring a curse on the land. And so we were dealing with all those issues there. And the innocent blood shed was they had, 10 men had sacrificed their lives in the building of that council house because they believed that they get a higher resurrection if they die for the chief, you know, of that village. And their warships, they always kill people and paint their ships with blood, you know, when they war in there. So blood is a big thing with them. And, so it was just so many curses there, you know, in this place that we were going in to pray about and to break. And we had the lady who went with us is a Fiji lady. So we never do this on our own. We always take a local citizen, a local Christian, because it's their people. And they work alongside us to repent on the half of the sins of their people. And so... we went in and prayed in this council house, and oh, it had such a stench in it from the dead people, because there's 10 people that, you know, they just wrap their arms around the columns and bury them alive in there. And so you could still smell that dead flesh. Well, anyway, they had this big, huge kava bowl that was hewed out, and they had Dagi, Leviathan, a carving of him in this bowl. And then they have the seashells that comes from the deepest part of the sea, which is where Dagi or Leviathan lives. Mm-hmm. And they do divination with these things. Mm-hmm. And Dagi rises up, and the shark, they also worship that, comes up out of this bowl after they're so hallucinating with all this kava. Mm-hmm. And they counsel them on how to run the affairs of their life and how to run their village. Mm-hmm. It's just pagan. And so we come against all that mess. And so when we left there, we went back out, and I'm going to see the chief now, because she said, would you go pray for the chief because he's paralyzed on the waist down? I said, sure. So we left there, and we went to see the chief, and, you know, it didn't take you, we took everything by surprise, but if you're not there long, the enemy knows you're in his territory.
Right.
So the wife rose up against me, and she said, you can't see him. I said, yes, I can. I have an invitation to come see him. And she said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. I was personally asked, I didn't know it was his wife. So I was personally asked to come and pray for him. She says, well, he has a headache. I said, that's exactly why I'm here. I come to pray for him. And she said, well, he's eating lunch. And the Lord said to me, don't fight with her. So I said, okay, I'll be back. So we left the village, and as we walked out of the village, God said to me, you are making history and changing history.
Yeah.
And I went, well, praise God, whatever that means. And I just told the kids whatever that means. Well, anyway, we left out, and we came back about 30 minutes later, and they're saying, I'm going back to pray for the chief, who's still paralyzed. And she says, you cannot pray for him. So, you know, we just had a few words there for a minute, and she would not relent. And I said, okay. So I went to his sister's hut and took all the kids, and I said to her, I'm sorry, I can't do anything because that lady won't let me. And she said, well, that's his wife. That's my sister-in-law. I said, oh, okay. So I said, so she would not let me pray for your brother. So, I've done all I can do, you know, here. And so we were in there just sitting down. I had kids all sitting. They don't have furniture there. Everybody sits on the floor. It's just a different, whole different culture, you know. So we were all sitting on the floor, and I told the sister, I'm sorry we couldn't pray for your brother. And the Lord said to me, well, just do Acts 19. And I went, Acts 19? Yeah, Lord said, just do Acts 19. And I'm going, Acts 19. Oh, yeah, why did I think of that? So I flipped over in the Bible, and I told my kids, I said, go to Acts 19. So we did. And here's what God told us to do. It says, let me see, where are we? Well, this is one of my favorite scriptures, where like, those who came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them were used magical or witchcraft arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver, and then said, the next very next verse says, and so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And then it said, Paul went on, it said that, where is that scripture in here where it said, Paul, special miracles were done at the hands of Paul? Which verse is that?
11.
Oh, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And the Lord said, get some of his clothes and bring it in here and pray over it. I went, yeah. So I told his sister, I said, go bring me some of your brother's clothing. That man must have, I never got to see him. He must have been a giant because they are big people. It looked like those shoulders were that broad on that shirt. So she brought his shirt in. So I just laid on the floor. I told the kids, get on, everybody take your turn. Everybody lay on that shirt. Anoint with oil. Pray it when you get down there. So all the kids did that, all 12 of them. And so we just handed it back to the sister, and we said, we see you later. So we left, went to another island, Suva, the capital, the next day. And so we didn't come back through there for 2 more weeks. And when we came back through, the lady who took us out there caught a bus and came to the bungalow where we were. And she said, I've got to tell you what happened when you left. I said, what happened? And she said, well, 2 days later, after you went to the village, said, my husband and I were in the market buying groceries, and I heard somebody call my name. And said, Barbara, look at me, look at me. I can walk, even run. And here was the chief. God had instantly healed him, and he was walking and running to meet her. He said, go tell that woman from America to come back and bring those kids and preach the gospel in my village. Isn't that awesome? Just foolish for God. You know, just obedient. That's all he requires is obedience. It's not that you're anybody special. You know, it's just a call, it's a willingness, it's obedience, it's part of your destiny, and you just do it.
Right. It's what Dale Copeland preached Thursday night. Yeah. Obedience is worship.
Yeah. It is worship. Yeah, it is worship. It is. It is. Is that why you gave me that tape? Thank you. I'm anxious to hear that when I get home. So then we went to Suva, the capital. Well, I never knew this was going to happen with the team, and I was always trying to be so careful because we met with a chieftain who was ahead. The oldest of each tribe becomes chief or chieftain. And so also her husband was Speaker of the House. Also, she was president of the Glow there, so she was a very important lady. And she was our leader, and she took us to a church that night, and oh my God, the same thing happened again. And the kids started all this wild warfare. And two ladies from the Glow had seen all this happen there in the other island we were in. They were traveling. They took vacation time and traveled with us. And so this chieftain ran to these two ladies and said, set them kids down. Set them kids down. Shut them up. Shut them up. This is out of order. Out of order. And they said, oh, we won't touch that. We know that's God. We've seen that happen. We won't touch that. So then she came over to another girl on my team, and she said, shut these bunch down. You all get quiet and get in order here. And she said, I won't touch it. I won't touch the anointing of God. If you want to, you can, but I won't touch it. Mm-hmm. Well, my boy from Mexico City, Miguel, I seen by who had trained the team in warfare, he was up there. He had a microphone. He was praying over the people. Over religious spirits in them. And so this lady gets on the microphone. She said, sit down. Everybody go to your seat. Well, Miguel knows very little English. And so he sure didn't understand some, because she had very broken English when she was speaking. He didn't know what she said. And everybody turned to walk away. He said, come up here. Y'all come back and get rid of them religious spirits. Get up here and get rid of those religious spirits. Oh, we about fainted. Because here's the chieftain telling everybody to sit down and be quiet. And I'm going, oh, we are thrown out of this place. And I know that. And so then so she just said, I said, Miguel, Miguel, just sit down. And so she ordered everybody to leave. And so everybody picked up their stuff. And we were staying in a hotel across the street. And so I had 3 girls travailing at that time, over there on their knees just travailing. And so we were picking up our instruments and stuff. And I said, she said, take the kids back to the hotel. I said, I am. I said, I have 1 in travail. You need me pick her up and bring her up. Have her trail and bring her over there. Oh, she said, well, no, just let her pray. And so I said, I have another one over there in travail. Do you want me to pick her up too and bring her out? And she said, oh no. And I said, well, and I have a 3rd one right over here. Do you want me to take her out of travail and intercession? Well, she said, when they finish, just bring them back to the hotel. I said, okay. So I didn't bother anybody. Everybody, you know, picked up their instruments and we all went back. And so we had the suite. The leaders had the suite, which is a larger room. And here come all the kids just flocking to our room. Oh, we're in trouble. Oh, God, what's going to happen to us? I said, oh, no. We're not in trouble, honey. No, she is. She's in trouble with God. Because she touched the anointing here tonight. No. So let's don't be angry with her. Let's just pray God will open her eyes. I said, everything is okay. We have done nothing out of order. It's just in divine order, and she just don't understand divine order. And so the next morning she came real early apologizing. And she said, God really spoke to me last night. When I got home, she said, I went to the woodshed, so to speak. And she said, the Lord told me I was in error and that you all were correct in what you were doing. And I want to know if you'll come to the parliament with me to pray. I'm going, I don't even trust us to go. And she's going to trust us to go to the parliament and be decent and in order. I don't know about that. But I just know God's in control. Yeah. So we went during the lunch hour when everybody had gone to lunch. And her husband, you know, had got us in because he's the Speaker of the House. And so we went in very quietly. But I never knew this eruption would come. But it didn't. We didn't, thank God. But everybody had, we have popsicle sticks or these little tongue depressors, and we have all kinds of scriptures written on those. And so we all have our anointing oil, and we have our communion elements. And so when we went in, everybody has shofars. And in a lot of places, most places we take flags and we take banners and whatever. But anyway, we went in and we anointed every desk in there, and everybody's name is on the back of their desk. You know, we called everybody. I said, call you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Call you in the kingdom of God. Come out of there. We named their names. And we prayed over everybody in the parliament. And then we went to the president. He's called something else. But he was the president of the parliament. And we gathered in a circle around his desk because there was a lot of... The reason they brought us over there to pray was because... of disunity, because the Fiji people want to run their own islands, and they had people from India who lived there who had been voted into office, and they didn't want the people from India in office with them. And so there was a prejudice there and division there, and that's why we were there praying. So we were praying about that. And so we gathered around the desk of the president and prayed over that and prayed for unity. And then we left, and then we went to where they do prayer, where they do fire walking. They walk on fire, and they do a lot of performances there, and it's a very demonic thing. And we were near the island of where they teach it. And one of the ladies with us that was traveling, her ancestors were involved in that, and it's a very satanic thing. And so I took the kids to where they do this, but I told the kids, now let's just get around and pray with this. Well, I pretty much give Miguel more permission and more authority to do what he feels God shows him to do, because he's a real strong warrior, and you know he knows God very intimately. And so he came to me. They always get permission. He said, "I want to go inside that hut where they do their rituals, and they go in there and they fast and do rituals and they cleanse themselves before they walk on fire." And he said, "Can I do I have permission to go?" And I said, "Sure." And so he went there and prayed. Well, we left and came back. And about 6 months later, there was a coup. And they was about to overthrow the government. And I read that in the paper, and I thought, after all that praying we did, look at this, I can't believe it. So when that happened, all the people saw their nation was already in division and a mess. And they began to pray. The intercessors began to pray. Here's the key. The denominations begin to come together. All the pastors of different denominations laid down their religious differences and their doctrinal differences and came together as the body of Christ, begin to pray and intercede and repent of their own prayerlessness, repent of their own sins of their whole nation as well as their church. They came together and began to pray. And you know what happened? The first one that got saved was the president and the parliament. Revival swept through that whole parliament. Everybody got saved in the parliament. Revival, it is still going in Fiji. Revival swept that whole island. And the firewalkers, I have it on video. They made a big George Otis Jr., who makes the transformation videos, this one out. Have y'all, anybody seen the transformation videos on prayer walking? You haven't? Well, they're awesome. You really should get those because they're just $20. It's just, he goes all over the world where they're doing prayer walking and they're pulling down territorial spirits and everybody's coming into unity and revival is breaking out. Crime is going down. It's just phenomenal what God is doing with the media, with the government, with the churches, with everybody. And so they made one on Fiji. And the firewalkers, the ones that the older ancient men that was there came and repented for the idolatry of worshiping Satan walking on fire, declared as wickedness and works of darkness. And revival hit the fire walkers. And then the people, some of the people went in, that the secular people went in and wanted them to come perform for people coming on vacation because they make a lot of money off of that. And they said, no, we won't. We won't do that. And they said $50,000. And that's a lot of money for Fiji's a very poor country. And they said, we will not. We will not. And they said, why would you turn down $50,000? They said, because it would displease our Lord. God is doing a phenomenal thing. And we had a little part of that. We are so thrilled that God would just change in history, make it. Yeah, I hadn't thought that. That's really true. Yeah. Thank you, sister. After all these years, I just now. Yeah. Well, I related it to that village. You know, I just related it to that village. I didn't think about it for that whole nation, but yeah. Well, anyway, so the curse, you know, learning something all the time, yeah.
Glad you came up here.
Yes, I am. Anyway, the fish had left the islands because it was such a curse, you know. And there was, that's on the video too, there was a missionary who went there many years ago. I'm trying to think, his name was Carter. He went there and they ate him. You know, they were cannibals, and they ate the missionary.
Oh.
And so they, the family, when all this revival hit, the descendants of this missionary came to Fiji, and the descendants of those Fiji people who did that, they came and did reconciliation together and apologized.
Wow.
So reconciliation is a key.
Yes, it is.
In the nations, as well as in this one. You know, they're doing a lot now here with the Indian... American Indian here, because we broke so many covenants with them. There's a reconciliation going on in that, and I'm really hoping God will move me over into that area too, because I would like to be a part of that. I have done that at different times, but not on the scale that they're doing it here. I would like to go to Ireland and Scotland, and I've had an invitation, but no confirmation, because my ancestors were from there, you know.
Sure, but if this comes about.
Are you, you're Irish or Scottish too? Okay. So, and then I'm...
Something? Mm-hmm. If you have the desire and the invitation came, is that my confirmation?
It's not timing.
Right. Not
it can be confirmation, but not timing.
Right.
Yeah, because God told me in 1991, you will not go out as you've gone before.
Right.
You're going at precision Kairos timing.
Right.
Precision timing.
Okay.
Not one day before and not one day late. The exact timing.
Right.
And I get lots of invitations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get confirmations. I know at one point in one time I'll be going. But it's got to be at that appointed
right.
time.
Amen.
Because then it's fruitful.
Right. Amen.
You know. And you can go and do some good. You can do some good.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you're going to open up things when you go Kairos time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me... right after the team formed, that the team themselves were keys that unlocked doors in the nations and released Kairos times and seasons. And so I have to go with what, you know, what he showed me that. And then I remember one night in Mexico City, we've just done a lot of stuff the last, you know, 10 years, but we did a march in the city, at Mexico City, and through the streets, and they have a real powerful warfare team there that had even prayed before we came, and we were marching that year against the spirit of death that has claimed so many lives there, because where we were marching, we were, it may have been the Mexico City, you know where the Zocalo is, anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Which is right downtown. You know where that is? Okay. You know, the Catholic Cathedral is right here. This is the Zocalo. Catholic Cathedral is right here. The government's palace is right here. The lawyers are here. The old hotel is over here. And right there, between the government building and the cathedral, they're unearthing the Aztec temple. They've taken, the archaeologists come in and unearthed. So, the Zocalo and all that area is built over the Aztec temple of where they had a technique where they could hit the breastbone, pop it open, grab the heart while it was still beating and offer it to their gods, their Aztec gods. That's gone for centuries. It's a bloody, bloody, bloody place in Mexico City. Of course, it's done in many places over the world, but that's where we were at the time. In the Mayan, and this is one of the next places I'm going, in Guatemala. They did the same thing there. But, and I've been waiting about 8 years to go to Guatemala. So it's just that time. I've been wanting to go and wanting to go, but it's hadn't been time.
Right.
Anyway, so we were there a week ahead, and we were doing evangelizing in the afternoon, and so that was at the turn of the century from 1999 to year 2000.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.